is coming with me on Saturday too.
Oh yeah, cool.
Well, she's wanted to go because she's into the antique-y stuff and the odd things. So I'm sure she will be overjoyed to come along, like, to check out.
As long as she's not bored.
No, she won't be bored. She'll go around. She'll bullshit and sparkle the living shit out of people.
That's also true. All right. We are live.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'll just get that chat showing up there. Boom shalaka. Cool. All right. And
at least this is already better than last time where you were hacking along last episode.
So. Oh, I probably will be by the end of it. So there is like something. I think we just need to do like some hard spring cleaning. Like the house has not
aired out.
Yeah, because like we have a couple of the windows that are like plastic over for winter.
Yeah.
Still. And I don't think it's been ventilated well enough yet for me to not die of dust.
So. Yeah.
All right.
Sweet.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Toddcast. I'm John. That's Justin.
Yep.
We're here to tell you about comics and things.
Slow week.
Well, when you have a 5-week month, it's pretty nuts. Although I had way more books this week than last week.
Yeah, there was a lot of books, and it was hard to choose because I was going to go with the stuff that I've already kind of talked about, like new Joe Fixit came out, new Gargoyles came out, new Grimm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to actually, none of these I've talked about before. So it is a whole new list of
stuff. I am talking about some continuations on literally everything.
Oh, that's fine. I felt like changing it up a little bit.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can talk about a fourth book this week because I read it. It was okay. Like it wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. Because I had it as like a back. No, I had it as a backup. Right.
Oh.
I did not get to read Doctor Strange or Top Scars this week though, or Curse of the Cleaver County. But that book looked really good. Just some books that honorable mentions this week.
I was going to say, I was going to read the Doctor Strange because it did kind of look good.
Yeah.
Like the art was drawing me in.
Yeah.
So I was like, I will hold off.
Right. All right. So while we're waiting to have some more people load in, let's remind everybody who listens to this on iTunes, which is awesome.
Is it iTunes still, or is it just like Apple Music now?
No, it's.
I think they changed that. It hasn't been called.
It's Apple Podcasts.
Okay,
but whatever. It's iTunes. Whatever. I'm old. Fuck it.
Well, we're on what? We're on Spotify too, right?
We are. We're on Spotify. We're on.
Yeah.
I think
we're still relevant. Yeah. As long as you're on Spotify, you're relevant.
Right. I just hope people actually listen to us, but whatever.
If you want to see our handsome faces, we're on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube's the way to go. Actually, I think it streams to Facebook too. But anyway, so some stuff coming up this weekend. Well, Saturday and Sunday. If you happen to be at Fan Expo Cleveland, I will be there with a partial booth helping out a buddy. He ended up with some extra space, so I'm gonna bring some stuff up. I couldn't get up there Friday for the first day, so I'll be up there Saturday, Sunday with some extra stuff. I'm gonna bring some $3 silver for your digging awesome needs. While I'm up there, I pretty much just want to say hi to Christopher Lloyd because he's, you know, Doc Brown. After that, we have the Mills anniversary sale next weekend. This Saturday you'll be at the Vintage Market down at the
Vintage Market at
Construction Junction.
I'm bringing my wife with me, so
Boom.
There you go.
Everybody can Google your wife. It'll be great.
Yes. Yes. So all you single nerdy gentlemen can Google what I get to bed every night.
There you go. And then it's Easter. And then the weekend after that is like fully loaded. So Saturday, Justin will be at Too Groovy Toy Show. And then Sunday, at bare minimum, Justin will be, if not Justin and Todd, will be both at our Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles show that we've resurrected from the dead out of Monroeville. We did that with Time Space Toys. They've been great to work with. They're the guys who put together the Living Dead Weekend. And you, all the horror stuff. They run the zombie museum at the at Monroeville. Great bunch of guys. I love it. Great to work with. Can't say enough good things about those guys. Holy crap. Then like 2 weeks after that, I think, is the Pop Culture Guys show. And then it's like Free Comic Book Day. And then it's our show. So let's talk about our show at that point. So we got some people, right? So we got P. Craig Russell, who is a pretty big get, like, because he does not do a lot of shows, right? He won an Eisner for Norse Mythology with Neil Gaiman. He's worked on Sandman, Elric, Doctor Strange. Holy crap, so much stuff. Coraline, if you like Coraline, he's the guy that drew it. So come see him. He is a big, fun thing. He's the sweetest, nicest old man. I've met him a couple times in Dayton. And then we have Andrew Pepoy coming in from California. He has done a ton of stuff. Actually, a lot of his variants are weirdly on like the Key Collector, like variants to get like the $10 to $40 variant chunks, especially his afterlife with Archie covers. Cause he did the one, like he did a lot of like Night of the Living Dead homage style ones. Mm-hmm. And then Russ Braun, who, worked on the second half of The Boys. He's worked on Swamp Thing, Batman, Jimmy's Bastards, which is also a phenomenal book, and you should be reading that with Garth Ennis. I love him to death. He's a great guy, too. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'd have to say those are probably close to the top three. Outside of, like, Ron and Pat, but, you know, they're our local dudes. We love them, and they're awesome. And, you know, but we're not going to see, you're not going to see like Andrew and Russ and Craig, like at every single show. Yeah. Ron and Pat are great supporters of the Pittsburgh comic scene. So we usually see him every year. And actually I just saw Pat, announce that he's working on a Marvel project.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know what it is. But it's a Marvel project. Hmm. So I saw it on his Twitter.
A couple of the other guys that are Pittsburgh local guys. Jim Ruggs always on vacation. As a big Jim Rugg fan myself, it's like, dude, you did Hulk last year and it was really good and everybody loved it. And
it's like the best Hulk we've had in years.
Well, other than what? Immortal Hulk. Mm. and some of the Donny Cates Hulk has been awful, but you know,
the first arc was good.
Yeah,
I think it kind of went off the rails, and I was like, "What is going on here?"
Yeah. So,
but all right, cool. So you can get all that information for everything we talked about at ndcomics.com. Make sure you check it out. You know, support your local comic shop. Doesn't have to be us. It can be any of these awesome shops. I was at shops today dropping off flyers and posters for shops that support our convention, whether they support it by setting up or they just support it by saying, hey, this is the Pittsburgh comic show now.
Yeah.
And they back it that way. So today I got to hang out with Ron over at Phantom in Noblestown. And I love hanging out with Ron. He is a great guy. I love bullshitting with him. He's great. Paul down at Geekadrome, Tony down at Pop Culture on McNeely. Dan wasn't there, but I talked to his dude down at Southside Comics. I was at Colin at Pittsburgh Comics yesterday. I was at Big Bang the day before that. I was at Four Horsemen the other day. I hit a bunch of shops today, and it's been it was a lot. But I love, like, all those dudes are so great, and you know, we thank them so much for helping support the show. And it's really fun because Colin has a Tim down there at Pittsburgh Comics, and he is very much so like the other Tims that we have. He's like, man, I love this artist, and I love this guy, and like, he just,
so you're talking,
like,
about Cope.
He's like a good mix between our two Tims. But he was like, it was crazy because, like, I walked in and I set the stuff down. I'm talking to Colin. Tim comes in, he clocks in for the day, and the first guy he talks to, he immediately hands him one of our flyers. He's like, I know you like to go, like, comics. You need to go to the show. It's awesome. They do a great job. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, still my heart. you know, it was super nice. Oh, I went to K&J too. I went to K&J already.
Surprised you weren't poaching potential employees to come, like, come work for us.
No. I would never do that. Ever do that. I'm not that kind of guy. I may keep it in the back of my mind for later.
I jest. Yeah.
Right. But anyway. I like to support everybody else too. Yeah.
I will be doing those runs next week.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, this week was too much.
Okay. So everybody, you're going to start seeing flyers and postcards everywhere. The flyer and postcard you see is also available as a t-shirt. You can pre-order it at threeriverscomiccon.com. And it's awesome. It's got some sweet art from DJ Kaufman. It's an homage to Amazing 15. It is what it is. It's great. I love it. So hold on. There we go. Come on. Get over there. Okay. Sorry, dog in the way, doing things. Okay. All right. Okay. I can live with that order. All right. Time to talk some comic books. Comic books. All right. I'm going to talk about my first one. Do, 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 do. Bam. Superman number 2. So,
what? Week three, talking about Superman.
Right? So, I can't get over how good the art is on this book. I mean, the writing's super solid, but the art, it's so fitting. Because this is Campbell, and the art is just so fitting for this book. Like, it's almost got like a slight cartoon look to it, which is what I like. It's kind of nice. Hold on, my dog just fell over. There you go, Lenny. Yeah, stay over there. Okay. So it starts off where Superman's fighting all the Parasite clones, because Parasite, basically, like, every time he absorbed anything, he multiplied. So he looks out and sees that there's a giant city filled with Parasite clones. So Superman's like, oh crap, now what are we gonna do? So they go back to, what the hell do they call this? Supercore, right? Yeah, Supercore. They basically power it down so that he doesn't get into anything, right? And Like Superman calls in Superboy and Supergirl, which, you know, I kind of like the look of them in this. Like their outfit design is interesting. Because they both have like the pants with a jacket type, like a zip up thing. Very
so like, it was like 90-esque type Superboy with the jacket. Yeah,
it's sort of, but not really. Like the jacket looks more. Do you remember when Spider-Woman had like the biker jacket?
Yeah.
It's similar. It's a little more that, like a little more modernized biker jackety.
I was going to say, I think Superboy in the 90s had a biker jacket like thing as well.
Yeah, I know he had like a leather jacket.
So, well, it was biker for the 90s, I should say.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So.
And then Marilyn Moon Knight comes in, you know, shows Superman some weird flashback thing. And then Superman realizes that that the parasites actually became airborne, and now people are like almost zombie-esque. And it's all kinds of crazy. And I'm now like, so were they like, oh, Deceased went really well, let's try to do something mean. Or were they just kind of like, let's just try this storyline. Like, you know, I don't know. It was very good. Though, like I'm liking the story. I'm digging the way it's written, what it's doing. You know, I definitely am having fun with it. So, all right. Your turn.
All right.
Your first book will be.
Ah, okay.
I hope this is the one that you meant.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought so. I was like, pretty sure you meant One Bad Day, but okay.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. It was, you know, sitting there messaging you and I shortcut.
I understand. I understand.
Probably. But, you know, this is like one of those Batmans of. What the individual one shots of every Batman villain.
And yeah.
Pretty much most of them have been pretty solid. Like not great, but not bad. But this one, I looked over and I'm a fan of Ra's al Ghul to begin with. I have been since what the animated series kind of brought him out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and this book actually reminded me something you would see on the animated series.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, fighting him, you know, his Damian's involved in this, of course, because.
Can't have it without Grandpa.
Yep, exactly.
Don't touch my Grandpa.
It was very good. The art is excellent. I think most of these One Bad Day art's been solid. So I'm not gonna, you know,
right.
There's nothing else to say about the art on that end. I'm not gonna spoil this one because I feel like this is one of those ones you have to read yourself because they do actually get into a battle like this. So this is not like, oh, they never do this. They actually sword fight. It's an actual, you know, knockout, drag out brawl. I'm not going to tell you who wins, but
I mean, the fact that Batman has pierced Ra's al Ghul in the chest on the cover should
actually, it looks like the sword busted.
Oh yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah. But it's solid. It's definitely one of those. Okay. Why doesn't DC do more of this is beyond me.
Because it's violence and superheroes aren't about violence.
Yeah, but it's Batman, so it's
right,
you know. But it, like I said, this was one of those ones. I have to admit, like this week has been crazy, so this was a quick read, flip through. And then I had to kind of read one of those online, like the overview, and going, yeah, that's exactly what I thought I saw. So it's really good. I highly recommend it, even if you're not like, you know, if you don't want all of those one bad days. I heard this one, was it the one with Bane, are the two best ones by far. So, which happened to be probably my two favorite villains.
Oh, yeah.
Like in general with Batman's. So, and Joker,
Batman's plural.
Yes.
Batman's.
Whatever. Oh, if it's Batman's with an apostrophe S. How about that?
That's possessive. Batman's.
Oh, Batman's like, villains.
There you go. His villains. Okay. That all all right.
English, John. English.
Next book. Grammar. Who uses grammar? Whoops. Not what I wanted to share. My bad. That was the chat
screen. What comic book is that, John?
That's the chat screen that only Ron Gamiss is in right now. Hi, Ron. Here we go. My next book is She-Hulk number 11. I love this cover by Jen Bartel. Like, love it. This whole book has been so freaking good. They bring back the She-Hulk Fight Club at the beginning, which is awesome. Because when I started reading it, I was like, did I already read this book? you know, Jack of Hearts is now basically like, he's just kind of like a homebody. Oh, there's this really funny scene in the Fight Club scene where like Luke Cage and Iron Fist are there. And Luke's just like, somebody tag me in. And he's like, I don't think you need to be tagged in. I think you can just go in and do it. And he's just like, somebody tag me in.
So Luke Cage is a pro wrestling fan.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then, like I said, Jack of Hearts and She-Hulk are still kind of dating. You know, they get to this moment where they're just like, you know, like they're about to have like a serious moment. And then her phone rings and it's Reed Richards, and the Fantastic Four needs him. Or needs her, so she goes to help them. So they go to this building, and it's a secret government lab, too secret to tell you about. That's exactly what it says on the thing. It's like,
wow.
It's like later that night at a secret government laboratory, too secret to tell you about. Like her and Sue are talking about stuff, and basically she's like, just wait here and see what happens. And this dude shows up and tries to break in, and she's like, can I help you? And he keeps trying to break in, and they have a bit of a fight. It's pretty awesome. I've never seen this guy before, so he might be old, he might be new, might be a new appearance of a dude. I don't know. Anyway, they have a really cool fight scene on the roof, and Jen gets tossed from the building. It's mostly a fighting book this time, which is what I like. I like Hulks that fight. You know, it's kind of a thing. But I also really love this variant cover I picked up of it. I just really like that cover. Yeah.
So very only fans-ish.
Huh. Never thought of that.
Kind of looks like it would be like
only Shulks.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's what we could have called this episode, was only Shulks. But damn it. She-Hulk only fans. She-Hulk has a free only fans. That's what this episode should have originally been called.
Oh.
We're sorry we didn't think of that. So
take that, Disney Plus. What to do?
Right?
Is there going to be a legal battle between Disney Plus OnlyFans and Pornhub? We now, will see.
Yeah. God. Anyway, here's your book.
All right. Now this one is, I'm a milestone fan. Like, I was a 90s kid. This was my prime reading, like other than currently now, but I remember reading a lot of Milestone. Static Shock was, love the book, love the cartoon.
Cartoon
was excellent, you know. And this has multiple stories in it. I think there's, I'm going to say four.
Wow.
Four or five. Now, they're very short stories. There may even be partial stories they may do into another book. I don't know. But it was really good. Like, one was set right back into the 90s, very animated style, like static in the animated universe type deal. Yeah. One is future static, like old, like Justice League, where it's Batman Beyond, part of the future Justice League, which actually that was my favorite skit because they were having a discussion about Terry was wondering if he could be as good as Bruce now that Bruce is officially gone, because it starts off from the Batman Beyond when Bruce passed.
Right.
So he gets advice from Static, and here comes this big bad that Static just kind of snaps his fingers and eradicates at the snap of his fingers. And they continue their discussion like nothing happened.
Wow.
It was very epic. And I'm like, okay, that is OP as hell. There is a story with, is it Soulfire? I might be wrong about the, I can't remember the character, the female.
Well, there's Rocket. Is Soulfire one of them? I can't even remember.
I might be totally off on that. It might be Rocket, but there was a thing with her, like kind of doing a, kind of off the college type deal. Like it was very a mundane story, but she goes and rescues like this little girl on the street, typical version of her. And then of course the last story is about the society, Menace Society.
Right.
And it's typical Menace Society, very, you know, very aggressive, very violent. But it, like I said, they were very short. So it was like less than 10 pages each. So, I mean, the book is thick. So this is like a, it might be 50 to 60 pages. It's a thick book. But each story is not very long.
Okay.
But the Batman Beyond and Static, and the Static of the 90s, which this is one where he goes to a concert after Static and his girlfriend broke up.
Mm-hmm.
She basically ditched him after he saved her life, which I was like, ouch. Because she's like, it's my birthday and all I wanted was pancakes. And he's like, well, I kind of had to save your life. And
did you mean Starlight?
Is it Maybe? Starlight?
Yeah. I was like looking through it. I'm like, I was like, what are their names? And I'm like, oh. So
I think it's Rocket.
Rocket's Starlight's got, like, so Starlight is got, well, Starlight's more of like a energy burst type person. Rocket is like, she's got like a bomber jacket on usually.
Yeah, it was definitely Rocket.
Okay.
So it was Rocket.
Yeah, because they have an Icon and Rocket book. So
yeah. Yeah, this was it was definitely about her. But the other one was very like I said, this kind of goes with the theme of I could see this being part of the animated universe,
mm-hmm.
because it is very 90s, like the style. They're wearing bucket hats, you know, the typical 90s bucket hat.
Man, I miss my bucket hat.
I saw some artists doing some backwards red hats. listen, the crowd.
Listen, me and some of my fraternity brothers in college, we had bucket hats, but we only wore them when we got real trashed. So forever they were known as our drunk hats.
But it's a solid book. It's a nice introduction for those who haven't read like the new stuff in Milestone. It seems like it's opening up a lot of new Milestone, like for the current books that are out, maybe trying to get new readers in. Like, I admit I haven't read any of the new Milestone stuff. I liked all the classic stuff. I'm definitely open to reading more of the current Milestone stuff too. So definitely a good read, definitely a good intro for those who are looking for something maybe a little nostalgic and maybe a little bit new. This is a little bit of both. So
hold on, someone literally just asked me a very interesting question. Someone just asked me, how would you compare the price of a coverless Amazing 14 to the price of a coverless X-Men 1? Half the value, less, more. And I'm like, well, like, they're both coverless, so it's going to be like real low. So
do they mean Amazing 15? If they're talking about the first appearance of Spider-Man? Yeah,
I don't know. You know what? Hold on. Let me ask here.
Because 14, I don't think is worth nothing. Well, nothing as far as comparable to a 15. There you go.
Oh, no, it's some questions. It's Scott. No, it's one of my buddies. Hold on.
Maybe we should have made this show open-ended question, and we could sit here and do some answer in the
I will do some research while you do your next book, but I'm gonna do my last book just to get it out of the way. So boom, Plush number 5. One more issue after this. This book is so good, it's so crazy. I love it.
Is the murdering furries?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you like raving in the first issue.
Dude. Well, it's more than that. Like, there's a guy that's caught up between his sort of fiance and the fact that the fiance is sleeping with a dude that works for her dad. Her dad likes him better than the guy that she's actually sleeping with, and she's having the other dude's baby, and the sheriff still wants that guy to marry him or marry her instead of the douchebag sheriff cop guy. Like, it's all kinds of nuts.
Wow.
So yeah. So at this point, like, the main character is arrested or saved by the cops, and they cuff him to a chair where there's like a bunch of dead. They put all the dead cops in the same room, and they basically have like this, hell was his name, like a Barney Fife type, like low man on the totem sheriff guy.
Wow.
Watching him, right? meanwhile, the furries are trying to figure out what their next step is. So the guy is handcuffed. He breaks out, like, or he gets the other guy to let him out. The furries, the one who won't take their costume off at all, gets shot with a shotgun in the chest. The other one gets arrows all through him, and they drop dead, right? And then the guy who's the baby daddy and the idiot goes to look for the other girl, or finds the other girl, and she's like a borderline, like, suicidal, and he's like, well then, let's take advantage of this time. There's a bed right there in a furry costume. And then when he does that, like, the guy had broken out and Molotov cocktailed their police car and showed up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so he's there. All the other furries, the ones that were shot, disappeared. The police guy's, like, getting panicky. And you just see the main character in this hall of dead furries that they had where, like, all the heads are. And it's just, like, you know that shit's about to, like, really go down in the next issue. And I'm so excited for it. Wow. Because I love this freaking book.
Sounds like the next Netflix series here.
Dude, well, they would have to do all of them. Like, Plastic was the first one, and it was really good. Vinyl was the second one. I don't think it was as good, but Plush has been almost as good as Plastic. Okay. It is very, very good. If you're into, like, weird tongue-in-cheek serial killer stuff, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I did finish watching the rest of You, which...
Well, oh, I love that show.
It ended so awesomely. I'm like, why didn't they end Dexter like this? Originally, this would have been the ending that they should have did.
Yeah.
I might do a review tonight. I don't know.
Oh, whoops. Damn it. You know what it is? When I go to do it, they both look identical. Like the icons look very identical.
Okay.
Is that the right one?
Yes, it is. Okay, well, cool. I can talk about one and two. Because I never talked about one.
Do it, because I need to do some research on my Spider-Man and X-Men thing.
All right. Well, for those who haven't kept up with the ongoing of the Sins of Sinister, this is the, I guess it's part of it. It's part of the story. Now, the whole Sin of Sinister is that all the mutants that have gotten revived have been involved in the sinister clones, with the exception of certain mutants, apparently. And this is about them fighting back. Storm happens to be one of them that happens to be fighting back, and a fair bit of the Brotherhood, which is weird. Mystique's part of it. Destiny's part of it. Cable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say Old Cable, if I remember correctly.
Old Man Cable.
Yeah. Well, older Cable. Not old man, but older.
Oh, okay.
Not the young one, but the older one. A couple other notable mutants, but not like a lot of like X-Men mutants. So it's... They're all... Like, this happens after just after the first one. The first issue happens just after the whole Sinister thing is revealed. They escape. I think they're out in space. So this is all happening on the moon base where all the mutants were originally. So Storm's kind of being the leader, which... can kind of see that happening. She's been a leader before, but in the first issue she gets shot. She obviously heals, but she's this kind of gives that whole thing of this is where the whole future of mutants starts building a little bit, where you're seeing a lot of okay, this is where that came from. This is where this came from. Like you saw in the original X-Men. In the Kirkman stuff.
Okay.
So this is a lot of this is where you're starting to see the bits and pieces starting to fall in place. Finally, after what, 2 years? You start seeing like how they ended up to that end game. So a lot of that first issue is basically that separation point of true mutants versus sinister clone mutants. is basically right. how this is going. So issue two here, now this is like 900 years later. So this is like fast forward. Now they all have technology to keep them aging. Well, dying. I shouldn't say aging. It's obviously, as you can see from the cover here, Storm is not exactly, you know, sexy, you know, 30-year-old Storm. This is, you know,
what?
This is You're like lying. Grandma Storm here. So, but they're all still like alive and kicking. They're still Aurora. Battling against the sinister clones. But you're starting to see, again, this is more glimpses of the future with the sinister clone war. Like they've been doing this 900-year war, like battling.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is like, I think if this would have came out last year, people would have not been so upset about X-Men the last year. I was like, it took them a year to kind of set things straight. Like, I enjoyed the Inferno storyline. So far, the Sins of Sinister, I wish they didn't break this up like this, because it's annoyingly, this is the annoying thing about the 90s, where they're like, oh, here's this issue from this book and this issue from that book. And, oh, I thought we were done with that. Just give me the straight story.
Right.
Don't do this to me. But yeah, so this is the way. Was it? I think there's another book to this by the conclusion here. Kind of gives you, there's another book to this. I don't know how many are for the whole Sinister collective. I don't know if it all meets to a head. But so far I'm kind of getting into it a little bit, because I've been kind of staying away from regular X-Men titles. Just the spinoffs, the X-Force and Wolverine ends. But I'm definitely getting interested in the Sins of Sinister. But this side of the fence here is pretty cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it's Storm as we usually, you know, obviously like a born leader type. So, you know, I mean, heck, she's married to T'Challa. Yeah. So right. Technically she's a queen of Wakanda by marriage, right. You know, it's, you know, she's been That's leader true. Of the X-Men numerous times. So you kind of go with what you know, I guess, you know?
Right. Well, my book of honorable mention this week is Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors from Archie. It's a one-off. It's part of the Chilling Adventures stuff. So, check it out. If you're into the Archie horror realm, it's kind of cool. But the story, like, bounced around a lot, and that's the only thing that kind of I didn't like about it, because I was just like, keeps going back and forth between all these different stories. But definitely check it out. All right, now as we're going to talk about the there's not really a lot going on right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about Star Trek Picard, because it's badass. And then we're going to talk about Mandalorian, and that's about it. So
I can only talk about you. I had to insert you in there.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. oh, yeah, you wanted to talk about Shazam not doing as hot.
Well, now, box office speaking, now, like money-wise, obviously it was not a smash hit. Like, I don't think DC expected it to be a smash hit, to be honest. They didn't push it enough.
I don't think so either.
They're full on to the James Gunn thing. So yeah. I kind of figured it was not going to do well. But I have heard from certain comic moviegoers that it was a solid movie. There was nothing technically wrong with it. The CGI was good. Everybody was solid as they were in the first movie.
Yep.
They said even the story was pretty legit.
Yeah, wasn't that's bad. What I've been hearing too. Like, it's been pretty, it's been like, the people that I know that have seen it have all given it good reviews. I have not seen it yet. I've just been too busy. But I imagine I'm going to enjoy it because I loved the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was awesome.
So. Yeah. I just heard it's like Warner Brothers could give two shits less.
Well, I think it's kind of like Dark Phoenix. Like when that came out, like it was like, oh, Fox just got sold to Disney. Yeah, whatever. And that's kind of funny.
Only Dark Phoenix was like a shit movie.
Well, it was okay for like the first like half hour, maybe hour, and then the last like third of the movie was just like, oh, Disney bought us. Fuck this. We're just gonna put the rest of this movie out. Like, we're just gonna wrap it up, guys, so they can't do anything. And that's kind of how I felt about it. And it's almost like that's kind of how I felt that New Mutants kind of felt too. Except that New Mutants was actually a very good movie. They just needed to.
They didn't push it,
and they didn't develop Cannonball or Sunspot at all. Like it was.
I remember seeing, like, usually you see a commercial, half a dozen commercials for something come on. Mm-hmm. Like, how many commercials do we see for Black Adam?
Right.
On a weekly.
Right.
How many commercials I saw for New Mutants? Maybe one once a week until it released. And I was like, maybe. Like,
yeah.
You know, this when Black Adam was coming out, I remember it's like every other commercial on YouTube.
Mm.
Like, yeah, it's like clockwork.
Yeah, it just didn't really stick. So yeah, go see Shazam. Let us know what you think about it. So I'm gonna talk about Picard for a minute, and I'm just gonna make it brief because I know a lot of guys don't watch it. Like, but this week's episode, holy shit! Every single episode of this season has been better and better and better every episode, and this episode, like, you find out, like, why the shapeshifter, or what the shapeshifters stole, like, kind of like you kind of start getting the plot really starts thickening very deep, and like so many more cameos from Next Gen, like in this episode, like the whole, almost the entire staff or like our entire ship crew is back. I'm waiting for Wesley Crusher to show up, but he's technically doing like some weird time travel thing from season two. So I don't know if we'll see him. But it's been killer. Like, just killer. And, Brent Spiner gets to come back as Data in this episode, which we haven't seen since. There was like a real brief moment in the first season, like as a flashback, but he's been the bad guy the rest of the time. Playing a version of a Soon. So this one is kind of cool because we actually get him to play Data again. Geordi LaForge shows up. Both of his daughters are in the show. Like both of LeVar Burton's daughters play his real daughters on the show. Or at least one of them is his real daughter. And it's just been awesome. If you're a Next Gen fan, you should be watching this season. It is super good. So, all right. And then lastly, we just have the Mandalorian, really. I don't know why people are hating on this season at all. Like, I think it's actually the best one so far.
I think people are expecting way more. I don't know how to put it. I think people were expecting like blockbuster, bang, 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 you know, nonstop action, 24/7, you know, because they got so sick of the whole Boba Fett kind of hurt it. This is the after effects of Boba Fett.
I guess. But even then, like, it doesn't feel anything like Boba Fett. It feels more like.
No, it doesn't. But then, I have a feeling, and I've talked to a couple of my Star Wars buddies. My one buddy's livid. He's like, this sucks. This is the worst Star Wars thing ever. And I'm like, holy cow, dude, I could name half a dozen things that are way worse than this season.
Wow. I was like, it's weird that this show went from the best thing ever to the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah. I don't get it. I love the flush. I like that flush, the way it's flushing out. I like the everything has a meaning to it this season.
Yeah.
There is, you're seeing the connecting of dots, which I love. I don't understand why people don't like connecting of the dots. Or do you like not knowing things and then be like, well, how did this do this? Where did this come from? I'm like, I like this.
I'm wondering if it's the guys that were like classic extended universe fans that are hating.
They probably are.
That are the guys that hate more. Or is it the guys that like pick and choose? Like they're really choosy about it, right?
Because like it's a
last
lot of
week's
the...
episode, like, you know, moved along the cloning plot. Yes. And then this week's episode, we finally got to see Order 66 and getting Grogu out of the building.
Yeah.
Right. So it's interesting to me that they would, that people would be hating on it. I'm like,
I understand the pace isn't exactly where everybody thought it was going, especially after comparable to season one.
Season one was slow as hell.
Like, yeah, but it was slow, but there was you're following him through his adventures, like the heist on the train, him meeting, like getting some of his background of some of the people he dealt with in the past, like past bounty hunters. The people he robbed the bank with or whatever, you got to see that. And I understand you want more Mandalorian, and I get that. It's kind of the whole point of the show is him, but it's also about he's part of a tribe and this is explaining a little bit more of the tribe, which I kind of like.
Are they more annoyed that it's like tribal, like a Mandalorian tribe, and he's not on his own anymore? Is that like a lone gun anymore?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of that, I'm sure. But they are OG Star Wars guys. So they're like, well, if it's not part of the original trilogy, I don't give a shit. You know, cool. I get your opinion, you know, and it's an opinion. And yes, I was born in that era myself. Do I love all the new stuff in Star Wars? No, I don't love all of it.
Right.
There's a lot of garbage in there.
Yes.
You know, there is.
You're not wrong, yes.
You know, but I think if you take some of the good parts and you can, especially the way Disney is doing certain things, they're trying to make the best of some of the bad stuff and kind of pushing it away, but taking the good stuff that was good and trying to make a story out of it. And that's all I think that's all that we can ask for. Could it be infinitely better? Of course, you know, but I think for where this show started from, they didn't know where this was going to be to it is basically the show that is carrying the entire Star Wars universe on its back. I think that's a huge difference from, this is, we don't know what this is going to do to, we got to make this good or we're going to get screwed.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Yeah.
But kind of getting back to this episode is I liked the flashback.
I did too.
Do you know what it did though? Do you know who that Jedi was?
Yeah. It was the guy from the Jedi Temple show.
But do you know who else he was? Who else he played in the Star Wars?
Wasn't he the voice of Jar Jar?
Yeah, he voice and certain human elements of
Jar Jar. Stop motion of Jar Jar.
Okay. Yeah, so that's Jar Jar Binks redeeming himself. Looking badass Jedi.
Right.
You know, what? He took on 10 guys on his own with dual lightsabers, kick it out. And for some reason, people had a problem with that too. And I'm like, no, I'm cool with that because yep. I'd rather see that than see Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. So I don't know. I had no issues with it. I thought it was
no. And I,
people need
I
to get it over it.
I think it fit well. And I like the story of saving the foundling. That had its purpose as well.
Yeah.
And you got to see, you know, a little bit of human in Big Blue there that I didn't think, you know, you didn't make the connection there, but
yep.
I guess he's going to be a little bit nicer to Jin there for a little bit, hopefully.
Yep. Yep.
Or if he's going to return to being a dick, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like, I thought it was good, though. Like,
I did like the end where Bo-Katan was... I think she's,
yeah,
I think we see where this is going is, I think she's finding her place in the Mandalorians.
Yeah. Like and she's, I think she's going to devise the new Mandalore. Like she's going to be the one that sets up new Mandalore. Like,
yeah.
Even though that hasn't really been, that's not really canon in the Abrams verse, but you know it could be.
Yeah, I have no issue with that, and
yeah,
it seems like she's being sincere. I'm not seeing in this a sinister like you did in the last episode, where you're like, I'm not sure where she's gonna go, and you're seeing a little bit more redemption there. So I'm feeling that as a positive thing.
Yeah, same.
So. Especially with the armor making new pieces, which I'm always, I love watching that. I could watch that. Like, I'm a big sucker for flame and melting metal. It's cool with me.
I love the almost like samurai moment of like, they're going to be forging this piece and then there's a flashback that comes into it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like old samurai movies or kung fu movies.
Yeah. So maybe that's what people have. It's not a Western anymore. No, it's a samurai movie.
Well, it was kind of that too beforehand. So they apparently haven't watched a lot of samurai movies, but whatever. Anyway. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching and listening. You know, make sure you hit the like, make sure you share, make sure you tell your friends to watch us every Thursday as we have returned.
I think we're getting our stride back here.
I agree.
We're getting back to mediocre level.
We're like slightly under mediocre right now. I think by next week we'll be back to mediocre. I think more stuff has to come out again for us to.
Yeah.
To
we have more awesome stories to tell instead of.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're busy handing out flyers and posters.
No, but it's good because, like, I think it's good though because, like, you know, we give shout outs to the local stores that support us and, you know, just show that, you know, we do support other shops. Like, you know, we just want people to read comics, period. We don't care where they get them from.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you download them on like an iPad. I'd prefer you to buy physical media because that's what we sell and that's what we do. Yeah. And it keeps me employed, but I get it. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Don't forget about the warehouse sale. That was the thing that I missed. So warehouse sale.
And this is not the basement sale, guys. This is the warehouse sale.
I will tell you that one semi has come, and two big box trucks have come, and I have another semi coming before the sale. So when we say 200,000 new books never seen, we really mean it. Like, we will probably not have time to go through any of that before it actually happens. So you might find some Easter eggs. Who knows? Come on out and hang out.
I may sleep in there. I may sleep in
there. Fair enough. So, all right, guys. Thanks a lot. And we will catch you next week. And stay safe. Stay nerdy. Read some comics. Bye.
See you, guys.